Station number 14975, William Rochester, Reel 2.
Mr. Rochester, Reel 2. You've got your uniform, Mr. Rochester. Your unit is complete. What were the initial things that they did with you?
Well, first thing they did was, well, I don't have a kit. The corporal and the lance corporal were given instructions, teach us how to lay our kit on the bed before we did anything. We had to make the bed, and that's the way you had to do it at least once a week. For inspection.
What kind of a bed did you have?
A metal bed with a canvas top. Then you had palliasses on the top. And you had your three blankets. I can't remember whether you had sheets or not. I suppose we had. I can't remember. I think it was just blankets. Because you folded the blankets up and they stood them at the back of the bed. And put all the rest of your stuff in. And you had a locker above your bed. And that had to be opened. And your stuff in there normally, but when it was inspection, it was on your bed and the locker was empty. And if there's anything else in there, they just threw it away. You shouldn't have that in there. Get that out of sight. You know. And then we went on the square.
Sorry, can we just look at the way you lay your kit out first? Because this is basically a kit inspection situation.
Right. Yes.
It would be laid out in a certain way.
Yes.
And how often was an inspection carried out?
Once a month. Mm-hmm. But the inspection was carried out once a month, but your bed was like that once a week. Every Friday morning, you had to make your bed up like that on a morning.
And did NCOs look at it?
Yes.
On a Friday?
The corporal and lance corporal was responsible for that. Whoever was in charge of your barracks, but not the sergeant. He would come round on the inspection day, monthly. He would come round with that. And sometimes the officer came round. The major or our lieutenant came round to inspect the, you want a new pair of socks, you want this done, and that's not tidy enough, so I said. But you did that with your own corporal and lance corporal, and you soon got to know which way to fold your bed, which way to put them out, and if you didn't know, you were all talking to each other, and the ones that did know were helping the other ones, because if one's punished, your lot's punished. We were taught that very early. You're a team, and if somebody can do a thing quicker, then help the one that does it slower. And work as a team. You're 32 people and you're one group and you must work together. Try and help each other.
A punishment for one that would punish the whole group?
Yeah, if he didn't own up. If he owned up, he got it. But he didn't get as much as he would do if he was found out later on. We were all told this by the lance corporal. He was good to us. He gives all the old tips from that he'd picked up, you know, from the old soldiers. If you do something wrong, you don't do it, you don't own up to it, the squad's punished. And they'll know who it is. They may not do anything to you, but they'll never forget you for it. But if you tell the truth, you'll be punished separately, but not as much as you would be if you hung on for a fortnight before you told them or before somebody found out. So they made you into a team, and I thought that was terrific.
So, if we can stay with the accommodation, first of all, you were in a barrack block.
Yeah.
Can you describe that block?
Yes, it was a three-storey block. And my first squad was on the top floor to the north, towards the moor, you know, right on the moor. You could put your head out the window and see the moor, part of the moor. There was a road wind down there that took you down into the town, but you could see part of the moor. And then it was a wooden floor, you had these bricks, you had these metal beds with the palliasses. There was a fireplace, one fireplace, on the left-hand side as we went in. And there was a table, two forms, and we each got a job to do in there. The table was a wood table, just plain wood, and had to be kept polished as much as they could. Well, it was just plain wood at the beginning, but after 3 months, it was about that thick of wax. It was beautiful, you could shave it. And, you know, everything was polished and all that. And then Well, never mind, that's to come. You've all got allocated jobs to do, and unfortunately, there was myself and another lad, our job was the washhouse. Well, I mean, everybody had to be in there, and there was 32 blokes trying to get in and get a wash and shave in there on the morning before we could get in to clean it. And we had to be outside our PT kit at 7 o'clock. So we were always in PT kit before we got in there to do our cleaning and washing up that.
And what time was Ravalli?
Oh, 6. Mm-hmm. 6 o'clock.
So each of you had a job. Was this a rota where you changed jobs?
No, you stayed with that job. And he did swap it over occasionally. He'd say, you've been long enough on here. Right, so-and-so will come in, you take over of this job, talk to these, they'll tell you what you do. Then we went with them and said, right, what's your job? And their job was either the fireplace or a table and chairs or something else, you know, or sweeping the floors or something like that.
Can we stay with your job now? You've got the unit through on the morning. Mm. What did you have to do with it in the wash house?
Well, it was quite a big wash house. It was as big as this, two sides, and it was a black top, a stone floor, tiled floor. You know, we had to see that the top was dry, clean and dry, and the basins were clean and dry. All the taps turned off, the polished, the brass taps all cleaned, and the floor dry and cleaned and everything. We had those sucky things, you know, your
squeegee
things and all that on there. But you had to be pretty quick by the time they'd finished, because there was water all over the ruddy place, and you had to pick it up with a squeezy, because there was nowhere on the floor for it to go through. I thought there should be a hole in there somewhere, but there never was. I suggested we put a hole in the wall so we can scrape it into a pipe outside, but no one ever asked.
Was the hot water laid on?
No.
It was cold water?
Cold water.
And you shaved in cold water?
Yeah, you shaved in cold water, yes. And we were very lucky, my mate and I, in the washhouse, because the time while we were on there, we were on, second time we were on, we'd had about other jobs, and then we come back to the washhouse, set it around again to the washhouse. It'll do you good because you know what they're doing here. Well, it was in the middle of winter, and the tabletops, and there was ice on them, you know. Oh, God. We were in our PT kit, ready to go out for PT and taking that ice off. There was a draft coming from India. I don't know how many there were, but they were in a room on the other side. There was a similar barrack room on the other side, you see, but there was nobody in there, so these were in there, and some of them used to come in our washhouse. And the first they came in while we were cleaning up, I said, oh, you can't come in here. This is our job, barrack room job. We've got to clean this. Get in your own washer. Son, go away, will you? We're a civvy now. Go away. We'll clean this for you. And they cleaned it for us for about a week. We used to go up in the morning and say, get the hell out of it. We'll do it. So the majority of them used to come across into ours, because if they did it in theirs, they would have to clean theirs out as well. There's only about 12 of them or something. So they all came over here, and the last two or three did our job for us. I thought, and I couldn't understand that, because ice on the floor, on the bottom, cold water, you know, really cold water, snow and frost and ice outside, and they've just come from sunny India. I said, how do you stand it? What do you mean? How do you stand it? Well, you've just come from India. He said, India? There's bloody ice and snow up in India, and all you know, we've just come from Nasmuch. We didn't realise they'd been up in the hills where the snow there is at Rastak. It didn't make any difference to them, but they were very good to us for a few weeks while we were there.
What were the toilet facilities?
Downstairs. There was two or three on the landing next to the washhouse. I can't remember how many there were, but possibly about four, I think, there. And then, of course, there was the toilets outside, the set of toilets outside. And the majority of them used the outside toilets. This was only for a sweet pea at night time, you know. If there's anything else, they used to say, hey, you bloody stink, get outside. But they were suitable, as far as I remember. We didn't have any problems with them in there.
So your wash house was your duty, and the toilet situation. Within the barrack room itself, presumably you've mentioned the table, of course. The floor and the stove would have to be clean.
And the coal bunker. The coal bunker had to be polished. It was black. Black lead, it didn't shine. You could shave it.
And this was every day?
You had to do it every day. You did it every morning. It had to be tidy. No coal on the floor. The coal had to be inside. It was one thing. They didn't let you whitewash the coal. But the fireplace was all cleaned out, and it was whitewashed around the inside where the fire had been. After you cleaned it all out, you had to brush that down and put some whitewash on there.
And the stove was the lit, stove. Lit to keep the room warm?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You had to light it yourself, night time.
Was there any other form of heating in the room, or central heating?
No, just the fire. It was warm enough, actually. It was quite warm.
Your own bed space, were you responsible for that, cleaning that?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, other chaps would have the job of the main room.
Well, you did what you could, but the floor, there was, three or four floor sweepers, and if you didn't do it, they swept under your bed as well. But it was their responsibility doing that. And you did what you could. If you dropped something on the bed, on the floor, you put it on your bed. Otherwise, you lost it. If it wasn't on your bed. If it was on your bed, it was yours. And anybody that touched it or did anything with it, they were in trouble. You know. But if it was on the floor, it belonged to anybody.
Were there any problems with stealing?
No. 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 No gambling. Those two of us didn't believe in gambling, because we didn't have the money to do it. And that was one of the things Peter told me when I went. He said, you'll not have a lot of money, you'll have a few coppers. You'd buy bob, you might have 5 shillings, you've got to buy black and you've got to buy white polish for you, white stuff, and you've got to buy toothpaste and this, that and the other. You've got to buy blank off your equipment. You haven't got any money to spend to go. So do not gamble. So then, I don't know gambling. He said, playing cards. I said, all right. He said, don't play cards for any game for money, because you'll be short of money, you're sure to lose the money, sometime or other, and you'll want to buy something. You have no money, you'll go and steal somebody else's. Or if you ask to borrow it, you won't get it. So you'll take it, and you'll be in trouble.
And the army frowned on gambling itself, did they not?
Yes.
Was there any surreptitious gambling going on in
there
dark corners of
there
that
There would
camp?
Be, but not in the barrack room. Not in the barrack room. You see, why it wasn't in the barrack room? Because in those days, after 4 weeks in your squad, you have a squad of 32, you were drilling, basically drilling before you touched a rifle or anything. And then before we started on rifle drill or anything at all, it was all marching, turning round, and just to keep everybody in standing. There was 4 people picked out of that 30-32 and given a piece of tape to tie around their arm. And you were a lance corporal. You were an acting, unpaid lance corporal. You were still a recruit. And the only thing that tape got you did not do fatigues. You were in charge of a group of people who did the fatigues. All right? I don't know if that was universal, but that happened at the Fenham Barracks in 1930. And it's quite a story that afterwards, it's through. Now, I was lucky enough to get one of them. And my first job was the 6 blokes in the cookhouse. And of course, you should have heard them. Me standing watching them cleaning the dirty dishes and scrubbing them with sand and all that, you know, to get them clean. Oh, God, what a mess. And
you were quite young. Most of these people would be older than you, were they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't 18.
How did they take to this local?
Well, they didn't know how old I was. Nobody knew how old each other was at all. We were all youngsters at the time, you see, so that didn't bother you at all. They were just told by the sergeant that 4 people would be selected, and it's up to you, went to the beginning. And then the 4 people were selected and said, these are your acting lance corporals, and they all have a squad. So we all had 8 men to look after.
Did they resent you?
7 men and yourself as 8. That was the 32.
Did they resent you?
No. They were told, they said, it doesn't mean a damn thing. It only means that I, or your corporal and your lance corporal, has 5 minutes rest while you are doing the fatigue. And he's supervisor of the team. If you don't do it right, he gets his arse kicked. So if you don't like him and you want to get his arse kicked, don't do your job properly. Because when I inspect it, he's the one that's going to get kicked, not you. And they just took it, laughed and took it, and it was pretty good, actually. We mucked in with them. I mucked in, carrying coals, helped to carry buckets of coal and things like that, you see. We just mucked in the best way we could, as long as nobody watching us. Because we were told we were lance corporals and we got to be supervisors. They were trying to put something on, I don't know. There was a lad from Sunderland and another lad from Merton Corey, I think he was, from Merton. And funny enough, we all progressed on to sergeant eventually later on, you know, through the services, you know.
You were given fatigues to do from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Whether it be cookhouse, where else might those fatigues take place?
Mm-hmm. You took your turn.
Where else would you be doing fatigues?
Oh, we did the cookhouse, we did the drill hall, the miniature range. We had to go in there occasionally, and there wasn't much to do in there. The dining room. We had to go in the dining room. They loved to go in the dining room because you'd always get a bushy slice of bread. those big tubs at the end of the kitchen. If you took your bread when you went in the dining room, you got two slices given. There was an only stand in there. Yeah, that was the part you had to do. Only one of your squad had to do. There was 16 on the table, so you had two blokes in your squad who was oddly, one at each table, and he gave you two slices of bread. And when you took them across, you got them in your hand, you kept them in your hand. If you put them down, one of them would walk. And some of them used to go in with theirs and stick them underneath with a fork, you know, on the bottom of the table. And then, I've got no bread. Hey, Corporal, I didn't get any when I come in. Are you sure? Well, it's not here. So you need to get another couple of these. And if you turned your head away, they vanished. Because you got two slices and that was it. Never mind, the slices were like that, you know.
Very thick.
But that was it. And occasionally the old soldiers, ex-soldiers, you know, the ones, the dining room oddies, and occasionally they would have a few crusts left in the bottom. They would come along and shout, anybody want a crust? Well, you know, you got killed in the rush. You got killed in the rush. But it was all good. It was good fun, really. I don't think there's anything nasty about anything at the time. I don't know, I might have been lucky. But I thought it was great. And our squad, I thought we were pretty good at all. Because the four of us, if we could muck in the fatigues, we mucked in, as long as there's nobody watching us. But the cookhouse, everybody was watching you, so you had to stand back and tell them that's not clean enough.
What kind of jobs were they doing on fatigues in the cookhouse and the dining room?
Cleaning all in the cookhouse, cleaning all the kit, washing up. You know, like you do in the kitchen, that after you've cooked a meal, you've got to wash up. Basically, that's what they did. All the tins, the pots and pans and everything, all that had to be washed up. The plates and that you used in the dining room, they went to one end of the dining room, and that was your part of your fatigue in there, washing and drying them up in the dining room. Keeping the floor of the cookhouse clean. But you only went in certain times. You went in there all day, you know. You went in after lunch. Then you ought to get cracking, do what you could, because you hadn't missed too much training on the... You never missed any training on the square at all. You got your fatigues to do outside of that, you see.
Potato peeling, did you get that part of fatigue?
Yes, you did potato peeling. Occasionally you did that. But basically that was done by the people that worked in there, or the defaulters. They did that. But you were never taken... You never lost any drills for your fatigues. That was something extra.
So in addition to the dining hall and the and the kitchen, mm-hmm. Where else might you do a fatigue?
In the school, there was a squad went along to the school, and coal fatigue to the merry quarters and the barrack rooms. You had a big barrel, and they all had these metal tins, you know, with two handles on. They got so many of them a week, and they put them on the barrel, pull the barrel along, tip them on the floor, then away back for some more to the coal yards, and you carry them up the stairs to your barrack rooms or to the married quarters and hand them out to the married quarters. But the cigarettes in those, well, shortly after that, the cigarettes, Kensington's used to have four for your friends. Well, I was smoking a little bit, I smoked them, And I always had to smoke Kennedy's because those four were for my friends. they were for the coal men, you see.
When would you be doing the fatigues? Obviously, the dining hall was after lunch and before your parades or whatever it is you do. When did you do the coal fatigue in those?
Once a week, in the evening, afterwards.
Didn't interfere with your timetable?
Nothing interfered with your drill on the square. Nothing interfered with that. You must do that, then your fatigues afterwards.
Can we come back to your unit now and life within your barrack room? Yeah. Was any bullying taking place or initiation ceremonies of this kind?
No, there was plenty carry on. Clark and only carrying on. They used to have little bits of fights. Not real fights, carry ons, rolling around on the floor. And someone would say, "Oh, I'm fed up. What about a bit of wrestle?" So they would clear around and they would make a ring and clear around and wrestle. And if you got in there, they would push you back into the ring, you know. But there was nothing any vindictive about it. I can't remember anything about it. There might have been. There could have been, but I never saw any. I thought it was an excellent squad. And when I went back later on, I used to try and make my squads like that as a squad corporal and sergeant. I made them do that.
Did your squad have a name, a title?
Ladysmith.
And the barrack block you were in, was that the same name?
No, it was just block number 3, I think it was. There were 6. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We had 6 barrack rooms. In ours, and a few years further along, at 6 at the other end. We were at the north end and they were at the south end, and in between there was various things in between there. But we had the 6 barrack rooms, and you could get 32 men in those 2 rooms. There were 2 rooms, big long rooms in the 2.
There would obviously be people in your squad who would find settling in very difficult.
Yes.
Even be homesick.
You get another 1 or 2. We had 2 in our, I think it was 2 in our squad that were homesick.
And how did you help them?
Very quiet, very quiet. Well, these 2 come away, they came from down, I don't know how the heaven they got up there, because they didn't belong to them. They belonged somewhere south of there, and it meant a train run for them to go away. But they were taken home at weekends. They get a weekend off by the local lads. I had 2 of them with me for quite a few times. We just got a bus, you know, to see them. It wasn't very far. And I used to go by Sunland and go through there and slept with us in the bed.
So they really, you helped them along?
We helped along.
Helped them to settle in.
Everybody mucked in with them. And if you had any trouble with your weapons, when you're taking your bolts out in your magazine and cleaning up, and you forgot how to put your magazine in. If you put it in the wrong, it wouldn't go in the wrong way, you know. When you got your automatic, your old-fashioned, what the hell was it? Lewis gun. The old-fashioned Lewis gun. You take a few things off there, and that flip them all together. If they went quick enough to watch what you were doing, you know, and put them up again. And the corporal used to strip them down a bit and then put one in his pocket. If you watch him, you could see him put one in his pocket, and he'd say, "Now get that, who's going to get that gun?" And then there was a dash to get it right, and they were all over the place. Is this what you're looking for? You know. The 3 of them, well, you wouldn't see much of the sergeant except on the square. He lived in the married quarters, so we didn't see much of him. But the other 2 we had, I can't remember the names. They were very good to us, and they tried to make everything a joke, everything happy, everything fun, so you can enjoy it. I think they're the best 2 quarters I ever saw in the army.
Did they sleep with you?
Yeah,
or
slept in the same room. The sergeant, if he wasn't married, he had a room on the landing. There was 2 rooms on the landing, up the stairs. The corporal and the lance corporal slept in each room. There's like 2 rooms. In halfway down, there was a partition halfway across with a big arch like that, you know, for you to go through. No door or anything, just a partition across. And the corporal's bed was just inside the door on the right, and the other one was just around the corner on the right. That was your bed. You slept in with them, the corporal and the lance corporal.
How much was your pay when you started?
£10. But you only got 7 and 6.
What happened to the other half
crown? They kept it back on your credit in case you wanted to buy something or you broke something. You got 7 and 6.
So presumably if you lost something or broke it, you had to
He paid for it.
You paid for the
something
replacement.
If it was something that belonged to them. I mean, if you brought a cup, well, you might have bought one yourself, you know, if you wanted a cup in the house. Your equipment, you had to... They change your equipment. If something went wrong with your equipment, you handed over to the corporal and he got a new one for you. If you wanted socks, a new pair of socks, you half crown bought that. You would get that from the quartermaster stores and you would take it out of your credit. You could get to know, if you wanted to, how much you had in credit. You know, you had asked for it, but it was there if you wanted it. They kept that off. And there was something else, I can't remember what it was, that you paid out of that. I can't remember what it is now, sorry.
Had you taken an oath when you joined?
Yes.
To the
Queen.
King or Queen or whatever it was, yes.
To the King, actually, sorry, yes. Yes, we did.
And you had a medical before you went in?
Yes. We had a medical.
Was it a pretty
good
one?
Yes. Strip off and a good medical. Yes, and we had that in the firing range. That he all lined up stark naked while he went round. There was a bloody woman doctor come around once. I'll never forget that. I can't say about that. It's quite good.
We've mentioned your uniform and that you. What exactly did they issue with? What was your uniform like?
It was quite good. It was khaki trousers and a jacket. You only had the one. By the way, you got the second one afterwards when you went to the battalion. I think you had three shirts, two or three vests, and two or three underpants, and three pair of socks. I think that was the number, and two pair of boots. And you had to get one pair of boots shiny, and they were thick of grease when you got them. God, what a time it was. Polish, spitting polish on them boots. Every spare minute you had, you were polishing your boots to try and get a shine on. You did eventually, but by gum. You thought the boots I get now are much better. They're already black. These were brown boots. Sometimes had a different coloured toe piece, you know. And there was, I don't know, preserving grease on them or something, you know. You got them. God, they took a lot of cleaning up.
And did you have to polish the sole and the studs?
No. I didn't bother about that, but I polished mine across here, across the instep, and kept the sole clean. I never thought about polishing it as long as all the muck was off. But you had to polish the top, and I used blacken underneath there as well. And there's quite a few of them took it up and did it as well. I still do it. I mean, these are rubber ones. You kind of do it underneath.
You had to convert a brown boot into black.
Mm-hmm. Some were brown. Well, no, they weren't brown, but they weren't black either. They were a dark colour like that, some of them, and some of them not as bad as that. And the worst part was the grease on. It was in the leather. It wasn't on the top. It was in the leather. You had to get it out of the leather, you know, as you polish and put stuff on and that to do it.
Did you have putties?
Putties, yes.
How did they work?
Long putties. You mean how do you put them on?
Yes.
You just rolled them round your leg. You start at the bottom, pulled your trousers down, tucked your trousers in like that. Tucked your trousers in, either that way or that way, depending on which way the sergeant wanted them. Then you started wrapping around the top of your boot. And you need two hands to keep it tight. And you had to have about that much lap all the way around.
That's about what? An inch? Half an inch?
And you brought it up to here. And if you got your spacing of your laps right, you finish right at the top. Then there's a tape went round the top, then you tucked it in, then you pulled your trousers down over the top. You pulled your trousers right up, then they came down. They were long enough to double over like that over the top of your putty. When your putty was in, your putty came to there, and these went over the top.
It must have been a difficult thing at first.
At first it was very difficult. Because you put them on, you say, that's smashing water across the floor, and they'll drop off. Or... you put them on too tight, and you couldn't. It was painful when you started walking and started marching. It was fairly regular. You're marching on the square with your putties on. For somebody to start limping, so the corporal or the sergeant would stop there and say, right, come on, that teach you a lesson, get that off and put it on right. And he would do it there, because you couldn't march with them. If it was slack, you couldn't match with them slackers. They dropped and they were trailing behind you. You see? So you had to stop the squad, and you were a laugh. Everybody had a laugh at you then. You say, well, I'll not do it the next time. You know, I think that was the best way to teach them. After you were shown by the corporal, and that showed you how to, he used to put his on, and he would show you how to do it. And then you could do it and watch him. And you could stand, you could do the same as him. But you never got it right the first time.
Brass buttons on your uniform?
Yes.
And were these regimental with the bugle?
No, that I can't remember.
Did they issue with webbing straight away? The blank wing equipment?
Not the first 2 or 3 weeks, no. They concentrated on drill. And then eventually, after you've been there 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, you've got your equipment. You got a belt, and you didn't get much else extra. You had a white belt. I don't think we got the khaki belt till just before we went away. You had a white belt, so that was a dress belt to go out. And towards the end of your 3 months, you got your khaki equipment then, because you had to clean the khaki and a blanco 3 or 4 times to get a decent colour on it. And you had to get used to it because you were going to join the battalion. You had to be the same as the other one. But then, that's when you played with it, towards the last few weeks before you went up.